Welcome to Cancer Clearly, a podcast about the cancer experience told from every angle.
Hi, it's Kristen Siahian here with the Cancer Clearly podcast, and I'm so excited to welcome my next guest to the podcast booth. I'm here with Ryan Wilson. Ryan is a clinical assistant professor at the University of Minnesota School of Nursing and also the very recently appointed president of ONS. Welcome.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for having me. Very happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Oncology nursing is a subject near and dear to my heart for many reasons, having been affected by cancer with family members, but also being the editorial director on Johns for so many years and TON, the oncology nurse for Amplity. It's a very important topic.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wanted to ask you is, one, congratulations on becoming the president of ONS. Super exciting. And I would love to know from you just your vision of or the role of oncology nursing. It's becoming more and more complex with all the advent of new treatments and also with patients being treated outside of academic centers. So how do you see that role evolving?
Yeah, it's a great question. Again, thanks for having me. Thanks for showcasing oncology nursing here at ASCO. It's always a privilege. And I'm certainly grateful to be stepping in as president of ONS. So really appreciate being here. You know, this is a great question. And I think about it in kind of two different sides of the equation, if you will. One side is there certainly is a need for us to evolve the science to better understand what the needs of the oncology nurse are now in today's world, both in academic centers and in community centers, practice. And there's the science and understanding the pharmacology, the complex nature of these treatment deliveries, how to manage folks who are receiving these therapies. We definitely need that. And so without a doubt, those innovations are changing the way that oncology nurses deliver care. It changes where we are delivering care. It changes how we are delivering care. The types of things we thought about 20 or 30 years ago as someone's going through cancer treatment are very different today in terms of the types of side effects we're looking out for, the way that we manage those side effects and symptoms. Very, very different. On the other side, you know, I think there is this human component to nursing that will remain everlasting. And so there are elements of our profession that will remain the same, and that is compassion, the art of nursing, meeting people where they are, understanding that patients are whole humans with all kinds of things in their lives beyond just their cancer diagnosis. And oncology nurses, I believe, are very well adept at understanding that, recognizing that, and making sure that all of those elements of, you know, the holistic perspective of the patient and their family, the people who love them, being such an important part of the care. That element of oncology nursing, I think, will endure forever. What makes me, you know, most proud of being an oncology nurse.
Very well said. Oncology nurses are angels on earth, and burnout is a major issue, right? Because you're just giving of yourself so deeply with their patients. So I appreciate that answer very much.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So just thinking about how ONS can best support their membership and oncology nurses everywhere, I know you have many resources available for your membership. And a few I was going to call out were your symptom management resource guide, your biomarker database, love that, and these huddle cards. So I was kind of hoping you might go through each one of those and just talk briefly about what they are and how they're best used.
Yeah. So, you know, I got to give a shout out to our clinical team, the clinical staff at ONS, and the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers who contribute to all of these resources for ONS, who keep it innovative, keep it the best evidence, the highest quality of evidence that's used to kind of inform what it is that we're delivering to our members and to the profession as a whole. Mm-hmm. So you made reference to the symptom management resource. I know of this really well because I volunteered to be part of our review for chemotherapy-induced diarrhea management. Nice. This resource covers a variety of different symptoms and side effects from treatment. And the way that it works is we have kind of tiered the level of evidence. So we do a big literature review, a big literature search on these a variety of topics and the interventions that might be useful in addressing those symptoms and side effects. We go through a standardized, rigorous process for really highlighting the best evidence. And what is the best evidence? What is the evidence that's available? We look at the way the studies were designed, a lot of really impressive rigor behind the way that we evaluate. And we tier these into green, yellow, and red. based on the level of evidence and the amount of information we have to support that. And so it's really intended to be a just-in-time resource, a point-of-care resource for oncology nurses who are incredibly busy. We don't have a lot of time to be reading the scientific papers, at the nurse's station. We've done that work to really synthesize the evidence, let them see right at the get-go what is the best way to manage mucositis, for example, and what are the caveats that you may need to consider based on the type of treatment the patient's receiving. But what are the levels of evidence and what does the evidence say? And so these are routinely updated and cover a variety of topics. So the symptom management resource is just spectacular.
Incredible. You brought up something looking at what the treatment is, because would you agree, like within the new advent of bispecifics and trispecifics and cellular therapies and immunotherapies outside, so you may have to really pay attention to not just what the side effect is, but the treatment it came from.
Without a doubt, right? And that information is changing, it seems like, daily.
It's true.
The way that we manage these side effects, you're right. Mucositis from chemotherapy, for example, might be very different from an antibody drug conjugate or some other treatment that that patients are receiving today. And that's why this resource is so important. Because those things change, certainly our package inserts give us a lot of guidance, and those are definitely informative. But there's so much more out there, and this is a really succinct resource that allows nurses to deliver the best care that they can to patients.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, and you brought up the biomarker database.
Yes.
And that is, a really great resource and kind of a one of its kind, if you will. But it's housed within this bigger pool of resources we call the Genomics and Precision Oncology Learning Library, where there are just several resources, things from very introductory materials around genetics and genomics, understanding terminology and taxonomy, all the way to really advanced level knowledge around the types of biomarkers, how we use those biomarkers to inform prognosis and treatment and other parts of care delivery. The biomarker database, being a source of evidence around here's this biomarker, here's what we understand about it, and here are the things you might consider, the way it might be used in clinical practice. Also very honored and grateful to have contributed to the biomarker database as well. My background in GI oncology came in handy there.
Yes.
So it's a great resource. And these huddle cards, we have huddle cards for precision medicine. And genomics as well, but a variety of other topics too, right? And these are supposed to be tools for nurses who are on the floor, in the infusion suites, even out in the communities where they can huddle together, come up with this, one-page document that kind of summarizes the information. They can have a conversation about what it is we need to understand about this topic, what are the highlights, the key takeaways. So just a very point-of-care, very handy resource. So it's a really great tool.
All available on ONS.org.
All available on ONS.org.
Nice.
So
another issue I wanted to bring up is we're very interested. We just launched a new media platform called In Practice that is specifically designed for those practicing in the community. Tell me about oncology nursing in a community setting outside of an academic center. Yeah. How does that differ from an academic setting?
Yeah, well, I think we initially think that community spaces can maybe be a little bit more resource constrained. And that certainly is true in a lot of areas. But the way that the care may be delivered is a little bit different. There's usually a very robust interdisciplinary approach. You're really making sure that folks are practicing at the top of their scope. That's something we really care a lot about, making sure that nurses are providing nursing care in the way that we know how and have been trained to do. It's even more vitally important in the community settings that nurses are really practicing at their full scope. That's from RNs all the way through the APRNs as well. So the types of things that nurses are providing in the community setting are the same, but they are doing more with less in a lot of regards. I think it becomes increasingly more challenging as treatments become more complicated, more complex. There are so many nuances now to the types of therapies that people are receiving, the things that you might be watching out for. Whereas before, we kind of had this broad understanding of things like chemotherapy and how to manage those things. It was kind of a tried and true type of, mucositis and chemo is kind of the same across the board, not the same anymore. And so, you know, it can be really challenging out there for those in those more resource constrained.
Yeah, that's a really great point. Kind of practicing if this, then that.
Right.
Right. That's not the case any longer.
Right. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, we are facing a very significant nursing shortage. Many would say that we're already among it. And there's projections from HRSA, actually, data by 2038, which actually isn't that far away, looking at 200,000 plus nursing shortage across the United States. And there are areas that are going to be hit more significantly by that shortage. Certainly our rural communities, our communities that are under-resourced. We got to fix two sides of that. There's the healthy work environment to make sure that nurses that are in practice stay in practice and enjoy what they do. And can do it in a way that's sustainable. And then there's the pipeline, right? And the American Association of Colleges of Nursing just released a report from last year's enrollment numbers. We turned away over 90,000 qualified applicants for nursing programs across the country. That could have been 90,000 more nurses we had in the workforce. So we got to think about upstream approaches. So as more care is delivered in the community, we have to make those roles more enticing. There has to be resources and quite frankly, funding that helps to support these nurses in these areas, both from training and education, sure, all the way through to a career where they can enjoy what they're doing for decades.
Exactly. You know, that reminds me of just that expanding role of the oncology nurse. Yeah. And for years, I was editorial director on the Journal of Oncology Navigation and Survivorship, which is focused very much on nurse navigators, but also patient navigators, or, you know, social workers, anyone is kind of involved in that navigation process. So do you find that a lot of nurses are also wearing that hat? So it's psychosocial support, it's community outreach, it's, transportation, insurance issues, these types of things, removing barriers to care, really the kind of the formal definition of navigation. So they're involved in that too.
Absolutely. And I think, yes, nursing has kind of been at the forefront of navigation, really understanding, again, kind of going back to our roots, understanding that there are many things outside of the hospital that affect people's health and their care outcomes. Yeah. And nursing uses that lens. And I think navigation is a perfect example of that. The social drivers of health, you know, impacting people's ability to access care, the outcomes that come from that care. They may be able, maybe just down the street from a big cancer hospital, but it doesn't mean that they're going to have really great outcomes on the other side of that. So, you know, we got to be thoughtful of that. And I think the nurse navigation profession is just a really great example of how to do that and do that well.
Do you think that members of ONS kind of identify as navigators also? Or are you nurse first, then navigator? Or is it all kind of one big pot now?
Well, there certainly are specific roles around a nurse navigator. We have competencies and guidelines,
sure,
and things that,
yes,
kind of inform that practice. We've got books and all the things. Yeah. But I do think that there is an element that of every nurse's practice that does incorporate navigation, because we, again, understand that there are more things that impact people's outcomes than just the things happening in the infusion center or in the hospital. And so as a nurse working in the hospital, in the inpatient unit, yes, I was navigating, right? I was figuring out transportation and rides for patients to get home. What are we going to do whenever they've got 10 steps to get up to their apartment and they're having trouble walking? You know, what kind of resources can we get to them in terms of food and making sure that they have healthy food access,
sure,
things like Meals on Wheels and, you know, yeah, those types of services. And so certainly helping, working collaboratively without a doubt with social workers and other patient navigators in the community who are critical to that as well. But yeah, I think there is certainly the role, a specific element to being a nurse navigator, and it's critical. I was a nurse navigator myself for a little while. But then there's also this element of navigation that's kind of embedded across all roles.
Change the subject a little bit here, going back to symptom management. Again, in the dawn of all these new therapies and side effect profiles, what are the challenges you're coming across for your membership, and how do you keep them up to date on these things?
Yeah, well, there are many, and I've already mentioned several of them. I mean, we talked about access to care. We talked about those social drivers, and those certainly apply here. I think one of the things that I'm noticing is, you know, access to reliable and good information about what you should do, what patients should do, right? With the advent of the internet and social media and artificial intelligence and all of these really great ways to get access to information. Mm-hmm. Patients have so much access to information that sometimes it might be difficult to parse through what's good advice and what's maybe not great advice, or mm-hmm. how do I understand this advice in my context and what I have going on for me? And the nurse and the nurse navigators and all nurses kind of across the trajectory really are great places for patients to go to kind of parse through what is legitimate, what's maybe not the right type of advice to be listening to. And so, I'm disappointed sometimes by the misinformation and those types of things that come out. But nursing being the most trusted profession for decades now are just a really great source of truth for that.
It's a great point. It really is. Let's talk a little bit about precision medicine, biomarkers, immunotherapy. What kind of training and support is out there? What does ONS provide for folks? What are you hearing there?
Yeah, so our clinical staff team at ONS actually participates in a lot of clinical immersions, really trying to get ONS out in the spaces where care is being delivered mm-hmm. to really understand kind of on the ground what's happening. Our priorities and the resources we developed are shaped by what nurses are actually doing and what they're experiencing day to day. And we really try to be intentional about ensuring that there's broad representation from where people are located geographically, the type of setting that they're working in as we're developing and creating resources for nurses. So without a doubt, when it comes to volunteer calls, we make sure that we have nurses that are represented in academic centers, no doubt, but also in community centers as well, so that they can add that perspective of like, yeah, that sounds great when you have those types of resources available to you, but what would that look like in a place like where I work with a team that I work with? And so having that balance, that broad representation, I think really does a great job at delivering the types of services, the type of education, the type of resources really that nurses are needing from ONS to be fully informed about what is happening on the ground.
Great resource.
Yeah.
So tell me, I mean, you've been president now for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weeks. Okay. What's the vision? What do you want to advance? What priorities do you have for the coming year?
Yeah, there are many. We actually just launched our enterprise-wide strategic plan. So it incorporates the Oncology Nursing Society, the Oncology Nursing Foundation, as well as the Oncology Certification Corporation. So we really have this shared strategic plan from 2026 to 2028. And in there are a variety of strategies that I myself as president am very committed to as well. One of the things is really looking at the career trajectory, the career journey of the oncology nurse, all the way from new graduate nurse through folks who are in advanced practice mm-hmm. And beyond. And really looking at what are the phases of that career trajectory should someone want to go through the different pathways in nursing, because there are so many. And what is it that they really need at those moments to help them achieve what they're trying to achieve from professional development standpoint, from education, from care delivery? We're spending a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of work this next year really understanding those career maps, those career trajectories, those career journeys among our variety of different roles within oncology nursing. And I think that's really going to be guiding for us in terms of what is this next. But we're celebrating our 50th anniversary last year. It's a 51st year as a society. So what does the next 50 years really look like for an oncology nurse? And what are the types of things that those folks are going to be needing? The other thing that is a really big priority of mine is understanding what are the unique needs of nurses in terms of healthy work environments. Myself and our board of directors, as well as the staff support from ONS, are really being intentional about wanting to better understand what are the dynamics within the healthcare settings that contribute to a healthy work environment and that deter from that. And what do oncology nurses really need? I talked about why we need to do that, right? We're seeing more and more nurses leave the profession because of these issues. It's time for us to really figure out what it is that oncology nurses need in these spaces. I think we like to think we know what those are, but we need to do the work of really understanding that. And I think over this next year and beyond, we're going to put a lot of resources into better understanding those dynamics and figuring out what institutions need to be doing to support oncology nurses, what oncology nurses need to be doing for one another, what we can do as a professional organization to support nurses. But something's got to change, or we're going to be in a world of hurt, you know, as we keep moving forward.
So May is National Nurses Month, yep. Oncology Nurses Month, which is always very exciting, especially when you're in the industry and working with nurses. And anecdotally, you hear a lot about burnout and all the reasons why. Do you want to comment on that a little bit? Just again, anecdotally, what you're hearing from ONS members?
You know, I think more and more nurses are being asked to do more with less. They're increasingly resource constrained, regardless of the setting where they're working. You may have these perceptions of what resources are available, but it is more and more difficult to deliver care. The types of therapies and treatments are becoming more complicated and complex. We talked about this. And that is becoming increasingly more demanding for nurses. And so those, I think, are some contributors. Nurses are up for the task. We don't shy away from a challenge. We're always going to be there for our patients, no matter what. But we have to be thinking about burnout as a consequence of asking nurses to do more with less. And we talk a lot about technology. We talk a lot about artificial intelligence and the opportunities it has in terms of making care maybe more efficient or more effective in the way that it's delivered. I think there are some promises, some things around documentation, point of care support tools for nursing. But there is always going to be that human element, like I referenced before, that will never go away. While I think there is some promise with technology, I sometimes worry that just by making the care more efficient and effective means nurses can do more stuff now because we have these technologies. And I hope as we, as a collective community in oncology nursing and beyond, really are thoughtful about these technologies and as they are an adjunct and supportive in what nurses are doing, certainly not replacing what nurses are doing, but thinking about that and hopefully not letting it contribute to this burnout issue.
Completely agree. So I have to tell you, I know several ONS members and everyone's very excited about your presidency.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm not kidding. And it sounds like you have some really wonderful key priorities that you'll push forward. I can't wait to see what you do.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So I've been asking everyone that comes through the podcast booth today, what's the buzzword? What are we hearing at ASCO that's got your attention?
Yeah, I actually was at the opening session this morning, listening to the ASCO president and his presentation. We still have a lot of conference to go, so who knows what words will emerge. But for me, I think what really resonated was the word access. He talked a lot about every patient, every cancer, everywhere deserves access to high quality cancer care, and I couldn't agree more. And so access, I think, for me is the big takeaway from this morning session and what I'm going to carry with me.
Great word.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Appreciate. Thank you so much.
If this conversation resonated with you, be sure to subscribe and share it with a colleague, a family member, or a friend. Thank you for showing up, for listening with care, and for being a part of this community. This has been Cancer Clearly.